Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed for your company. Really appreciate you joining me this morning. As I said, we are streaming right now live on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter, so do take a look at that. All of our interviews pretty much are on video, although we did have a vote and we agreed that my next guest would only be on audio, and I'm sure you'd understand. This is going to throw quite a lot of people because he is one of our regular guests, and normally it is on a Friday, so don't get your hopes up that it is Friday. Guys, it is, I'm afraid, still Thursday, but just to cheer us all up, comedian Dave Chawner is here. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. That really made me laugh.
Every time. I love that you did actually text me this morning to say it's not Friday, just because I would have got confused. People who get up very early for work, as I'm sure my lovely listeners listening to us right now will know, you do get a bit confused. What day is it? What month is it? Every day is Groundhog Day at the moment. I mean, other than the fact that I don't get up at 4:30 on a Saturday, Sunday, I mean, every day is remarkably the same. I my heart goes out to people who don't have an excuse to leave the house.
Oh, completely. I feel, and especially yesterday, things have, you know, it really feels like things have got worse and a new variant of despair was discovered yesterday. You know, people keep on saying that the R rate is going down, but I think the kind of rate is going up.
Yeah, it is. And certainly over the exit strategy that I've been demanding and pointing out that the government doesn't have, and I'd like to point out still to the likes of people on Twitter who still say, oh, you're wrong on this. No, there still isn't an exit strategy. We're just told we're going to get one. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But let's at least have, and I suppose schadenfreude is the correct word in this circumstance. Let's talk about the EU's battles because, she said, grabbing the newspapers on the other side of the desk. The headlines are all just full of the stories about AstraZeneca and the EU. And in fact, I'll go to the front pages now to save doing them later because they are very much of a like. Daily Mail, no, you can't have our jabs. Daily Telegraph, EU demands British vaccines. The Times, UK supply of vaccine more than is needed. The Guardian, Britain and EU in row over who gets Oxford jab first. Guardian, sorry, that's not actually correct because we're not in a row about it. We're getting it first. The EU demands, sorry, EU demands share of UK's vaccines. Daily Express, wait your turn. Selfish EU wants our vaccines. And that, I mean, some other papers have gone with different stories. The Sun have gone for a story about Rita Ora, and we'll get back to those later. But most of the papers have gone on this story. And it is absolutely extraordinary that the EU should basically say, they haven't said it, but the reality is they messed up and delayed on their vaccine orders. They didn't sign contracts that were watertight. The EU supplies, therefore, are not going to be coming forward as quickly as supplies, for instance, for the UK. And they're basically saying, we want some of your supply made in Britain before you can get it. And also that we will actually stop Pfizer supplies from Europe being exported to the UK. It is an extraordinary state of affairs and one that the German best-selling newspaper Bild has called the best advert for Brexit. What do you make of it?
I think it's a bit like a custody battle. You know, they've said you get Northern Ireland, but we get the jab possibly on weekends. I mean, it's very odd. And I thought that we'd seen Brexit behind us, yeah. But it just won't go away. And You know what? Like, I say this as someone that was very much Remain, but I feel like there's something that I am missing, because it seems quite clear that if you're 3 months ahead, if you're first come, then you should be first served. It seems very odd to me.
Yeah, well, again, the idea, okay, look, it is almost certainly the case that people will die, more people will die in Europe, older people, higher at risk of the virus, will die as a result of the EU not getting as many jabs as it wants as soon as possible. And that's awful. But that is the responsibility of the EU. It's also the responsibility of the national governments, who are accountable and elected by their own people, to justify why they, including France, Germany, Italy and others, they had actually gone to AstraZeneca and other jab manufacturers, when they were trying to come up with their vaccines. They'd done exactly what we had done, which is do lots of different deals. And this is one thing the UK has clearly done incredibly well. They did lots of different deals with lots of different potential pharmaceutical and university suppliers and people who were trying to create these vaccines. Spread the risk. We've got, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of different vaccines on order. If they come off, whichever one came off first, we were going to be ready to go. It was to enable them to get the manufacturing started. We helped, lots of money to build up the ability to manufacture in the UK and all of that. So we did all that. Those other countries in Europe, those countries, they actually were in talks about doing that. They were about to sign the deals. And the EU said, no, 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 we're going to handle it on everyone's behalf, all 27 member nations. And then we'll do it. Took them another 3 months. And then they signed really poor contracts. I mean, we have a deal with AstraZeneca. Bearing in mind, this was a vaccine. This is the cheapest one on the market so far. It's going to be one that's going to go around the world and help the people in the poorer countries, which wouldn't be able to afford, 28 quid a shot for Moderna. It was British ingenuity in Oxford University, funded by British taxpayers. We've done a deal with AstraZeneca. We've helped, phase up that factory, two different factories in Oxford and in Newcastle-under-Lyme in Staffordshire. We're producing that, but we have a contract that says we get it first. We have first refusal on any vaccine produced in the UK. Well, if the EU is stupid enough not to sign a contract like that, well, that's not really our problem, is it?
Well, I mean, I've got to admit, I do, I kind of reluctantly agree with everything that you said.
Now, why is it reluctant? Why is it Remainers find it so hard to believe that your beloved EU messed up? I mean, I am more than happy to give credit to Boris Johnson's government when they do things right. And on this vaccine, they have done things right. When they get things wrong, I say they get things wrong. Why is it so hard for Remainers to criticise the EU when the EU is so blatantly wrong?
Because the Guardian emailed me this morning and told me to say that. So I knew it. I've got to follow, the holy trinity of the Guardian, Greta Thunberg, and of course Jeremy Corbyn. And it's odd. And you know what? I always said this, that I think that everyone wanted to make a good go of Brexit. But you know what? I think the reason that I am reluctant to admit is because I think that the actual real losers here are the people that don't have the power, that don't have the say, the people aren't going to get the jab. And I think that is a crying shame.
Oh, absolutely. It is an appalling abdication of duty and of care. I mean, bearing in mind, by the way, that throughout all of this, while Ursula von der Leyen makes these big statements and talks about how AstraZeneca need to, stick to their contract, The European Union Medicines Regulatory Authority, the one that left London and we were told, because of Brexit, that we were told was going to be a disaster for us. Then, of course, we just had our own regulatory body doing the approval. And everyone has followed suit from us. We were the first in the world to approve virtually the Pfizer vaccine and then the AstraZeneca one and Moderna, of course, as well. But the EU has not yet even given final approval to AstraZeneca. They are arguing with the companies which they signed a dud contract 3 months after, UK, Australia, US and others, about the supplies of a vaccine which they have not even given approval to be used. It is laughable, but it's also sick. People are going to die as a result of this. The vaccine will save people's lives. And the vaccine will not be rolled out at the speed it should be rolled out at because of the EU. I don't understand how anyone could not be criticising the EU at this time.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, and I also worry about going forward that I think this is going to be, I don't think this is something that's going to go away. Nope. And I do worry that it's going to cause international tensions on a huge scale. I mean,
do you think that Britain should say, yeah, sure, you can have some of our vaccine?
I think it's a good look, and it's, you know, we keep on talking about that. Oh, I've said something wrong.
Maybe we could exchange some vaccine for some fish. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's a great trade-off. Let's do that. And we could sort of, you know, extend that going worldwide. I mean, of course, the EU were saying that they were looking at getting the Russian jab as well, which Russian state media has said it's 122% effective. It works 11% of the times every 10 times it's rolled out. So who knows? It could be good for them.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's extraordinary, isn't it? Let's also talk about, I mean, I want to get on to the exit plan. We've got a bit longer after an update on the travel, but the travellers' hotel quarantine, Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, has made it known that she would rather every single person who arrived in Britain, so 9,000, 10,000 people a day, would have to face 10 days of quarantine. But as it is, it's been sort of, you know, she's been talked down off the ledge to 22 hotspots. You're also going to have to show your papers, basically. You're going to have to show where you're going and why you are leaving the country to leave the UK. I mean, I know, you know, we've got a ban on non-essential travel. I'm very unhappy about countries that ask for information about what people are doing. I mean, again, this to me, this is North Korea territory. I just don't think it's I don't think it's the business of the government in that case. There is a business of the government in terms of people coming in. No problem with the testing. No problem with that. There is an issue over the hotel quarantine, though. You know, too little, too late. Do you think, or do you think it's the right thing? Do you think we should have everyone who comes into the country facing quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's taken us, what, 12 months to work this out? And without being too glib as well, like, you know, people talking about these high-risk countries, if you come from there, you'll have to immediately quarantine in a hotel for 10 days. As someone who hasn't been on a holiday for the past 2 years, an all-inclusive sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, there is that, isn't there? I mean, the key thing is that it's going to cost something like 1,500 quid for people to be, each person to be put in a hotel room. They're going to be charged it. Now, interestingly, the World Health Organization explicitly states, and even though actually Australia is doing this, but World Health Organization explicitly states that it is illegal. It is absolutely not allowed. If you are enforcing quarantine on people arriving in the country, whether they're Brits returning or others coming, you have no right under World Health Organization rules. And again, if you sign up to World Health Organization, you are bound by those rules legally. It's an international treaty. Lots of people are very upset about international treaties being broken. You may not charge people for that. It is a, you know, if it's the government says you must quarantine, the government must pay for it. Do you think that's right?
What? So you're saying if people come in, they get a free hotel stay?
Well, you say free hotel stay. They're basically arriving and then having to sit in a room. I mean, you're not even allowed out of your room.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've had for the past 2 years. And to be honest, my flat is a lot shabbier than most hotels. I'd absolutely take that.
So you're actually going to book a flight to come back in just to get the hotel stay. I mean, it's a plan. I mean, to be fair, we've got nothing else to do for the next few months.
Yeah.
And we'll come on to that.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I do find it very odd. And this international travel thing, you know, it is odd that it's taken us so much. I mean, was it Keir Starmer that said that the borders are open, but the schools are closed? And I do think that, especially with the international travel thing, there has been a bit of not joined up thinking. It doesn't feel like it's followed with the rest of the government's policies.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.